and welcome to my first show of Your Book Garden for 2019. This is a copyrighted show presented by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I'm Tina Sucidic, your host. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday season and have a blessed new year. Today, I'm excited to have longtime friend and Wisconsin romance author Beth M. James as my guest. Beth and I have known each other for, and I'd have to say this took us a while to figure out how long it was, we've known each other for 12 years. Together, we've attended many conferences, workshops, retreats, and have traveled to the Romantic Times Convention at least 4 times. We belong to the same writers group here in northwestern Wisconsin, where Beth has used her exceptional organizational skills to lead our group as area contact. We've shared many meals, more than a few glasses of wine, and the ups and downs of our personal and professional lives. Before I get started, I have to mention that when looking for Beth online, Amazon, or her Facebook page, it is necessary to make sure you have the M in her name, because there is another Beth James who is also an author. So please make sure when you search for Beth, you search for Beth M. James. Okay, welcome, Beth.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Tina.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I live in the St. Clair Valley, so in Huffman, Wisconsin, and I have a wonderful husband. I have 2.5 kids, well, 2.9 kids. I don't know how you would want to say it. So I have my son who is in the Air Force, and I have my daughter who has given me a lovely grandson. And then I also have a stepdaughter, Lisa, and she lives close by us, which is really nice. I've lived in Huffman pretty much since we've known each other.
And how we figured it out.
Yeah. And then I lived in Minnesota for quite a while. I was born and raised in Minnesota, but I also took a jaunt out to Denver, Colorado, and I lived there for 10 years, where I lived in the mountains. And then I also lived on an island in Upper Michigan during the summers for a few years as well. I started writing when I was very little, and I love writing, and I've continually done so to this day and until I die.
Like all the rest of us.
Like I'm the other writer.
And as we're dying, we're probably going to have a story. How can I use this gap in a story?
Exactly.
Might be a little bit too late at that point in time. I know one of the things that we both love to do besides write is we both love to camp.
Yes. And I love camping.
And you and your husband have what kind of camper is it called?
We have a Class B.
Class B.
So Class B is where it's van size, and so it's a lot easier to park in places, whether you're out sightseeing or touring, or even when you're camping. We've gone to some campgrounds where there is no way I would have gone there with a trailer. Try to back in, no way.
I understand that completely. They've got some of those shirts that say, you know, I take no responsibility for the words coming out of my husband's mouth as he's backing up this trailer. I get that. But you just did something recently that I'm really anxious to see, and you talked about it today. We had a meeting this morning, our writers' group meeting this morning, so we're doing this interview after that. You have what's called a glamper. Can you explain that?
Well, we decided to name it the Clamper. What it is, it's a tiny home. So we bought some land up north, meaning up north Wisconsin, and we have 3 acres, and on it is a tiny home. It's kind of made similar to like a park model, if anyone's familiar with that. But it was made from scratch, ground up, and it actually was featured on a HGTV show for tiny homes.
Really?
Yeah. Yep, it was on there. And it was a segment about tiny homes. And they showed, I guess, a couple of pictures and stuff of our glamper. And we call it a glamper. That mainly was my sister-in-law. We were talking about camping because we've done some family camping. And camping is, you know, should be camping throughout the day.
It's an older.
Yeah, and so we have all of these trailers that are microwave, ovens, refrigerator,
bathroom.
Well, that was glamorous camping. So we decided that at our property, we call it the glamper because it truly is. It's like half camping because it's not really a house. It is on wheels, but it's our glamper.
Okay, I'm anxious to see it.
I've
seen pictures,
cool.
But
I'm cool.
This sounds.
In fact, we just went up there last weekend just to check it out and make sure everything was fine. And I mean, you're just sitting there and it's like, wow, I cannot wait to go back up this summer.
I was just saying earlier, before we went online and or started interviewing, that usually camping, I want to start camping, hits me like in February. I think it hit me November this year. I mean, I don't even think our camper was cooled off and put it into storage. I'm like, I'm so ready to go camping.
Well, and I think this weather doesn't help because we don't have any snow.
No.
So you're thinking spring and
yeah,
you're ready to go.
Yeah. Oh, I'm ready to go. Every time I open the cupboards and I see the stuff I took out of the camper, I'm like, oh, I want so bad. And
yeah.
We're not going until the end of May. I don't know. We may not make it that long, but I'm ready to go. So tell us a little bit about what type of book you write. You write romance.
So I write romance. My books are more based on the character with elements of romance. So I like the strong character being able to show their growth and lessons learned too. So what I like to do is be able to, in my book, try to help the reader along too if there's any dream situation. What is it that she, my character, has gone through and how she overcame it.
Okay. Your first book, Katana, came out the same year my first book, Writing for Love, came out. And I don't know if there's some reason why I forgot that. And so I went online and on Amazon, and I'm like, oh my gosh, my books came out the same, first time 2013. I'm like, oh, already. And I remember I was fortunate enough to read the manuscript, and do some editing. And I remember I was subbing for seventh grade English, and the kids were working on their homework or whatever, and all of a sudden I got to the love scene, which was a very good love scene, and I wrote in the margin, not a good idea to be reading this in a room full of seventh graders, and they kept coming up and asking for questions. I kept having to flip the pages over so they couldn't see what I was reading, but it was a very good love scene. But tell us a little bit about Katana, because this is a standalone.
This is a standalone book. It's a contemporary book. And actually, to take a step back, the trilogy that is actually my last book, I had started a long time ago, and I had written that, so the trilogy was one book, and I couldn't quite get it right. I had a lot of people who had said, well, you need to do it this way or that way, because that's when I was just learning how to write to be published.
And you listened to everybody.
And I was listening to everybody and absorbing everything. I think I wrote the Calling trilogy probably about four times. And then finally, I just had to stop working on that, and then that's when I wrote Katana. So it's like, I just have to take a break from that book and start a new book. So then when I started Katana, it actually was based off of a picture of a person, and that's
really
what Katana is. And so seeing that picture triggered something in me, and I thought, I'm going to write about this woman.
I like her. And there's humor in the book and growth. I think there was growth that she didn't realize that she was capable of.
Yeah.
Which made her such a likable character, considering what she was going through with her jerk ex-husband.
Yeah. Yeah, so Katana, basically, she had to start over when her husband, a doctor, decided to divorce her first pregnant mistress. And the hard part for Katana is that she had wanted to be pregnant. She wanted to start a family, and she couldn't. So this whole story is her struggle after her divorce and how she goes from that experience. And the other piece that I love about Katana is the other characters, too.
Yeah. I'm going to say that, yeah.
Oh, Rex.
Friends. Yeah.
Rex. So Lane is the first one that she meets. They live in a houseboat in Sausalito. And Lane is her neighbor. And Lane is like a quiet grasshopper. He's the one who's the solid base. And then later on she meets Rex. And Rex is actually based off of somebody who I knew from work.
Okay.
He is a flamboyant person, very colorful, mm-hmm. You know, very, it's like what somebody has said to me after they read my book. It's like, I want to know Rex. I believe Rex could be a really good friend with me because he's just a fun-loving guy.
I agree. Is he ever going to have his own story or be in another story, do you think?
I have had a lot of people ask me if I was going to write another story with Katana in it. And I have been thinking about it in my head, and I may. But I have so many other books on the plate now that I want to write.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get back to it.
Okay.
Get back to her story.
Yeah, because he was such a fun character.
Yeah.
You know, makes her laugh, and you know, and I love the beginning of the, you know, story where she's trying to catch the, was it check, right?
Yeah, her last alimony or social maintenance check. Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. I enjoyed that a little bit.
And all of that too in that scene. I've gone up to Sausalito quite a few times just to make sure that I had the setting right. And I got that feel and experience for being there. You know, so that way I can make it real in my story, too. Mm-hmm.
And it did feel very real. You know, it felt like you almost could smell the fish. It made me want to live on a houseboat. That would be fun. Your most recent book of your trilogy, the Dream and Reality trilogy, came out in September of last year. Correct? The Calling's Return?
The Calling's Return came out in this last fall. So
yeah. 2018.
Where are we? We're
2019.
Yes, you're right. 2018.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, and then the Promise of Return was 17.
17, and then the other one was in 15.
Yeah.
And I had... You know, every time one of your books came out, I bought it, but I have to say I did not read them right away. And then I started feeling guilty, and I'm like, I've got to read this book. You're my good friend, I need to read them. And I have to say that was a mistake, because book number 3 was not ready. And I got through book 1, I immediately read book 2, got done with book 2 and went, when is it going to be done? So that's good, you know, when it's like, okay, I want to find out what happens with these characters. I mean, I love the books. I felt like I was living their lives, you know. So before I go on any more, tell us about this intriguing trilogy.
Well, the one thing that's wonderful about being a writer when you write fantasy is you can make up your own world.
Well, some of the names, I'm like, how did she come up with these names? I'm reversing them, going, okay, is this, you know?
Well, so, like, where Katana, it was based on a picture of a woman. The Calling series, called the Dreamer Reality series, Jasmina, is actually how I started that book, was off of that name. So back in high school, in my communication class, we had to watch this movie, and it was, her name was Jasmina. And I don't know why that name just struck me, But I changed it then to Jessamine after. I didn't stick with that name, but it was off of that name that I started creating Jessamine in this world. And so from there, that's where this whole story began. And how I've written it now is pretty much how I originally had it, as far as the going back and forth. So what happens is that she wakes up from a coma, and she has to tell her fiancé that she's in love with another man from a different world, and this different world is based on like a Robin Hood type setting. You know, so it's kind of back in the old days, but it still is a different world. So there's no history behind it, so I didn't have to worry about making sure I had everything exact. We've had many conversations about that.
Yeah, you get lost in the, you know, researching on the internet.
Yeah, I got to make up everything on my own, on my own words, and I was able to put some things in there that I have interest in, which is good, you know, as far as homeopathy and such. But, well, with this story, it's pretty much how I originally had it. I didn't know how it was going to end. And originally it was going to be one book, but then as I started looking at it, I thought, I can actually have three books in this. And that's when I started laying it all out again and outlining it. And when I do my books, for this one, I have a very rough outline. And I actually did not know the very ending of book three until probably halfway through that third book. I wasn't sure how it was going to end. Because you have to kind of let the characters build and understand them to know how it is that you want to end. And I wanted to make sure that also, as I was getting towards the end, that I had the endings for all the other characters as well.
Yeah. Which was good, because it was, you know, like, you know, there's her ex-fiancé, and, you know, and how you tied that all together, and it was, you know, I don't want to give the ending, but, you know.
But so that struggle, back and forth, her fiancé, who lives in Chicago, Illinois, he keeps telling her that it's a dream, you know, that it's all made up, and she has to come back to him, and she's trying to prove to him that where she had been in her coma is real. And so that's where the struggle is in all three books. He's trying to, him trying to prove to her that it was not real, it was a dream, and for her proving to him that it was real.
And for me, I hate it when you're reading a book and at the end you find out it was all a dream. You know, and yeah. I'm not giving away the ending, but, you know, it was a very satisfying ending, you know, and it wasn't one of those where you're like, you know, this was, don't irritate me, you know, but it was a, but how did you come up with some of the names? I mean, they were...
All in my head. I have no idea. Well, you know, for like, Jasmina, I wanted to make sure that her... this world name was similar, so that way you knew that they were the same person.
It was Jesse and
Jesse, yeah, so Jesse and Jessamina. And...
But you kept Wolf's name.
Yeah. I came up with them. It's like you start thinking of names, you start looking at them, and then they just hit, and it's like, yeah, that character's Wolf. Or, you know, that character is... His name is Rain. You just come up with different names. And then where I used to work, there was a lot of interesting names.
Oh, yeah.
That I'd come in. And so, you know, you'd start taking a look at those names. And some of them hit, some of them didn't. But then you just start combining some pieces, and it all works out.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have done is I've walked through cemeteries with a notebook, and, you know, and down, and especially
all for, yeah,
yeah, and especially for, you know, when I'm writing the historicals, you know, you get some of those people that, you know, were buried in the 1860s and 70s, their names, you don't hear them anymore.
Right.
You know? And the same with last names, because, you know, some of those, coming up with names is hard. You know, make sure I don't use the same Tommy as for every single child in my book. So that's really hard. You were talking about, you know, your job, and you have a very stressful, I don't want to say high power, well, it's kind of a high power job, but it's a stressful job, and how do you balance writing and your job?
I keep the two very separate. So when I'm at work, well, I shouldn't say that. I keep them separate. So, you know, when I'm on my daytime job, I'm working, you mm-hmm. know, and I don't think too much about the book. When I'm at home, that's when I think about the book. When I sleep at night, it's both. So, you know, taking a shower, you know, trying to get ready for the day, and you're like, okay, I got to prep for a meeting or whatever, so you're thinking about it that way. But I have learned to keep them separate. The only part where I don't is like when I'm on my lunch break, I will do some writing when I'm on my lunch break at work. And I know that there was one time where I was writing, I can't remember which one of the trilogy that I was writing, but I handwrite my books, or I handwrite the story first. And so I was writing, and I was right in the middle of a battle scene, and my boss came up to me to ask me a question, and I was like, I'm going to finish. No.
You think he was going to attack you?
Not that he was going to attack you, but it's just like you're wound up in this story, and then all of a sudden you're coming back to reality.
Reality. Right. What do you do? Kind of dream of reality. You're flying back into reality. And that was one of the, you know, for all the years that I've known you, I did not know until our last retreat that our group had, that you write your books in longhand first.
I do.
Why?
I write it in longhand because it makes it more personal to me.
Okay.
So I can really get into the character, and so writing is more personal than just typing. And then plus I can get a little bit more cozier too, so it's like right in front of my face, the piece of paper, and I like that feel. That's what a writer to me is.
Mm-hmm.
Typing is not being a writer, but, you know, doing the longhand and writing it out on paper is. Of course, somebody nowadays, you know, that's a millennial, probably is not thinking the same way as I am, but for my generation, pen and paper is what makes it personal to me.
See, and I used to do a lot of my writing longhand, you know. But then I can't read it anymore.
I have had issues with that.
Yeah, I go back and go, because I use a lot of shorthand, and then, you know, and I'm like, what did that say? You know, where was I going? I have no idea. So
yeah, I've done that. I've done that many times. But then it's the beginning of the story, so I figured, well, I can make something up.
Well, then when you type it, do you expand on the story then?
Yeah.
Or
okay. Yeah. So the first one is pretty much the critical path, you know, where you're just writing it out, getting your character developed, getting the story developed. And sometimes I won't even finish the story in longhand. This one, this next one that I'm doing, I have, but for the other one, I think I did pretty kind of it, but for the last book in the trilogy, I loved it. So I write it out, and then I start to go, once I write it out, then I type it up, I expand on it, and then that's usually when I know how the ending's going to work out. And that's not the same with Katana, where I wrote it in longhand, actually, and I had the whole story, but then when I actually typed it out, I knew she had to take a little bit different path. And so then I changed it at that point.
Well, it's because you're using a different part of your brain as you're typing, opposed to handwriting it out. You know, maybe a little bit more.
Well, I think you're developing the characters even more, because when I write longhand for The Colony's Return, that one was like 36,000 words. But then when my first draft was done, it was, you know, in the 60,000 range, so it was double.
When you type?
When I type, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're expanding more on it, and you're learning even more about these characters. So I think that's why sometimes you have to change it as well.
Now, you said you had a rough outline. So that do you consider yourself a plotter or a cancer? Or both?
I think I'm both. I'm both. I need to know where the story is going to go and what make sure that I have an idea written out so that way I know a point to get to. But if it turns out that way, or if it turns out that way, great, but if not, I'm okay with that too. I'm not stuck on the outline.
You don't hold to it like, you know, I know some authors who can write the fifth chapter before the second chapter.
I'm linear.
Linear.
I have to go from beginning to end.
Yeah. And you're willing to let the characters tell you what they want or need or, right. You know, where to go.
And the hard part with writing the trilogy is that I had to remember what was in the first book when I wrote the second book. And then when I wrote the third book, it was having to remember what was in the first book and the second book to make sure that everything flowed smooth. So I think that was the most challenging part about the trilogy.
Well, you did a good job because I didn't see anything when I was reading it that's like, okay, oops. You know, they just didn't, you know, it flowed very well. And, you know, I'd go back and reread them. Just to get, you know, and do one right after the other, because having to wait for that third book.
I know.
I'm just shaking. Come on, get it done. And I know it's your job, and, you know, you don't get to write as much as, you know, as I know you want to.
Yeah.
You know, because I know your goal is to be full time.
Yeah, and that will come. That will come once I retire. But at least now I still continue. I'll keep writing. I'll have my next story hopefully out by next fall or this fall.
This fall.
Thank you for answering. It's so hard to remember that word, 2019.
Yeah. I'm like myself, because I'm traditionally am self-published. You are completely self-published.
Yes.
And one of the things that I recall from all the workshops and things that we've gone to is that whenever we would go to like romantic times convention, you took a lot of workshops on self-publishing. You did a lot of research. Can I ask why you chose to take that route as opposed to going traditional?
The reason why I think that I did most, why I chose self-publishing at this point in time is because I was working full-time. And I knew that if I was going through a publishing house, there would be deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if I'd be able to meet those. I'm also, as my husband would say, I'm a control freak.
What did I call you up here at the beginning? Exceptional organizational show.
And so it's nice that I can do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I create my own covers. All of that I do on my own. Now, you know, some of the things that they say about self-publishing where self-publishing had gotten a bad rap because there was a lot of bad books out there. Because everyone would just publish and they could say that they were authors. And I actually read one that was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh my God, how could this person be published? And I did not want to be that type of a writer or author. You know, for me, I took a year off just to learn self-publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a class, I did a lot of research, I talked to people, and when I publish my books, I hire a professional editor. I do everything what a traditional publisher would do.
You're doing it the right way.
I'm doing it the right way. I'm just doing it on my own. Now, hopefully in the future, I will be with a traditional publisher. I'd like to be a hybrid author, as they call them. But for now, since I do have my full-time job, and I love doing what I do full-time, I think self-publishing works for me better.
Yeah, I can see that because, yeah, having you traditionally published, it's like, yeah, the deadlines, it's like, okay, you got to, you know, they send you your edits, and you got to have back in 10 days, you know, and you've got something going on, and, you know, it makes it a little little, you know, tougher. And when I was working full time, that was hard.
Yeah.
It's tax season. I can't, you know, I can't do this. So, so I can, you know, I can definitely, you know, see that. And like I said, you're doing it the right way. Yeah, there's some stuff out there that is just horrible. You know, they're just putting stuff out there because they, you know, and they call themselves an author, and it's like, oh my gosh, take a writing class, please. So what are you working on now?
Now I am working on a book where some RWA, the Romance Writers of America, some of those authors, we're getting together and we're writing common elements. So what this means is that we can write whatever it is that we want. We'll be self-published. Everyone self-publishes their own book, but we have this set of common elements. And those common elements are the story has to have a lightning storm, a guy named Max, a stack of books, lost keys, and I knew I was going to forget the fifth one. but these five elements will be in all of our books, but we're writing our own story. So you can have mystery, you could have, you know, just a contemporary, historical.
But they're all romance.
They're all romance.
Okay.
They're all romance. And those are going to be published in October, November.
Are they all coming out at the same time, or are they spreading them out?
They're going to be spreading them out, but there'll be a few of us that will be, you know, on the same week and such, like
okay.
How many authors are doing it.
Now, is there an overall title for this? Because it's not a series, it's
no,
like a collection.
It's Common Elements.
Oh, is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The name of it, Common Elements.
I see. And what's the name of your particular story? At this point.
At this point in time, mine is called Peaceful Talk.
Okay.
Ooh. And it's set in Wisconsin, and I haven't really thought about how I'm going to present it yet.
Is it contemporary?
It's a contemporary, and it's, I'm not sure if it's suspense mystery. So that part I'm still digging into it, but it is about a woman who has to come back and make some life choice decisions based on after she comes back because her father has died.
Comes back to her hometown?
To her hometown.
Oh, okay. You think it's a dream of reality?
Yeah.
Comes back from her reality or a dream?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those authors who stick to the same genre.
Yeah.
So I'm contemporary, I'm fantasy, this one's probably a suspense mystery. It's whatever is inside of my head.
Yeah. I get that. I get that. So, like, how can people find you?
They can find me. My website is BethMJane.com, so they can find me on my website. I also have a Facebook page, same name, and I'm on Twitter, but I don't use Twitter much. So I'd say your best bets are the website and Facebook. Awesome page.
Okay. Well, we are over time. So, but since I can set this up however I want, we're going to do the whole thing. So our time is up, and I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
Well,
and,
thank you. I enjoyed this.
It was fun. Yeah. Well, I didn't think we'd ever get this done, but
we finally did.
So save the best for last.
Thank you.
So, please join me on February 22nd when I'll be talking to Justin Lee and his debut thriller novel, The Hubley Case, or The Hubley Case. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. But until then, read on, my lovelies.